Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Corey and Chad here getting an update from Gold Shore Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GSHR and on the OTCQB under the symbol GSHRF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Brent Richards. Now, Gold Shore Resources focused at the Moss Lake Gold Project in Ontario. There's a number of news releases that we're going to get to really over the last about month and a half. We're going to start with the May 8th news release. It is an updated resource from the Moss Gold Project. Now a total of 6 million ounces of gold at an average grade of 1.02 grams per ton. Now this is a global inferred resource because we're not just getting the Moss area resource. We also had a bit of a resource, 500,000 ounces from East Coldstream. Now, Brett, before we dive into some of these numbers, give us your overview of this upgraded resource here now at 6 million ounces at this Moss Gold Project.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, May 8th was a bit of a, I'll say, a high watermark for us so far. The resource pretty well performed as we expected in both tonnage, in grade, and in kind of overall contained metal. So we were, we're pretty happy with 6 million ounces, no doubt about it. But I think, this is really just a piece in time. Much like anything, this is just where we are at this stage in time. We really think this deposit is much, much bigger than what it is. And, we took the decision that we were going to focus on Moss to put a project around Moss that we could both finance and that we could build, rather than blowing up the resource to 15 or 20 million ounces and not having many off-ramps with that.
Well, on Brett, it seems now that the focus is really putting some economics around this project, working towards a PEA. You've done some metallurgical work that had pretty nice recovery rates. You've brought on Ausenco as the lead engineering firm. Maybe just talk about what the plans for the company are moving forward now that the resource is out on de-risking the project towards that PEA.
Yeah, it was a big step towards kind of de-risking the project and getting some answers to the market. Moss ended up having kind of gold recoveries of about 93%, so it liberates very well. And East Coldstream around 96% also liberates extremely well. Right now, we are kind of balancing how we structure the different distribution of grade. As you mentioned, we have this low-grade halo, then the global resource is 1.02 grams, but we also have a high-grade shear domain, which is at 1.84 grams. And the high grade actually represents about 55% of the total resource. So we're playing around with permutations now, and we're also conducting experiments on heap leaching the lower grade material. So if you think of anything that doesn't have a sulfide association would go to a leach pad, and anything with a sulfide association would go through, crush, grind, flotation, CIL, et cetera. And so we're trying to balance those two streams right now, but having great liberation is key to having that optionality, right?
So Brett, since this is an inferred resource, you can still move through this PEA that I think is currently underway. What's the strategy for upgrading the resource then? If you want to take it into any higher economic studies, I think we all know that you're going to need to move this up into more of an M&I category.
Yeah, for sure. We've intentionally done kind of what we have done. We drilled this up to a critical mass that would be, a reasonable size project. We're guiding, we're looking for 500 million plus or minus as far as CapEx goes for a project. And this resource will support that size of project rather than, drilling us up and putting together a multi-billion dollar project, which we can't finance. So having done that, I think we're going to be focused now on the PEA for the next, I'll say, kind of 4 or 5 months. We should have the results out at the end of September, early October. We've got enough money to kind of get us through the year. But I think after that, methodically, we have to kind of go through the next steps. And that is infill drilling Moss up to measured indicated. But I also want to, split our next drill program 80-20 and say 80% of it we'll use for drilling, infilling moss, and 20% of it will be to, you know, conduct some step outs and some scout holes along strike and parallel to moss, where we have identified some high grade shears, but also testing North Coldstream and the base metal targets that we have. North Coldstream appears to be quite exciting, and we need to split the focus here and put some dollars towards it. So 80-20 on infill, that'll get us through the next drill period. And we will start in the wintertime because we need to get up on top of the frozen tundra to drill.
Well, Brett, I think it makes a lot of sense that 80% of the focus would be on the infill drilling, so you can jump categories and work towards, you know, a bankable feasibility study down the road. But for that 20% that is, you know, more step out or more true exploration, looking at those VMS targets in the north, maybe speak a little more about that. I mean, I'm looking at your press release and you mentioned just even near Moss, you've got 29 additional targets to test. And then you've mentioned that there's some targets that are along strike that you'd like to test. So just give us a holistic update on what the blue sky exploration would look like.
Yeah, this goes back to our original VTEM survey that we ran almost 2 years ago now. And the results from it, you know, identifying a number of geophysical signatures, much like moss, 22 of them to be exact, and identifying four VMS-style deposits, much like North Coldstream. And then we have, you know, the moss targets along strike. So, yeah, for us, it is about prioritizing our drilling dollar and prioritizing where we think we're going to add enough value, more value. And is that by bringing it up into M&I? Is that finding new prospects? Is that, you know, understanding North Coldstream better? And does it actually have a copper, gold, cobalt resource to it? You know, so all these questions kind of need to be answered through drilling. And I think that's why we want to kind of split the priority, because creating value at Moss, I think, is a given. But creating value with these other targets brings in a different dimension of optionality that I think will really be rewarded in the market.
So taking this all into account then, Brett, with the upgrading of the resource and the continued testing of these other targets, what's the general budget that you would like to have that could actually go about upgrading and exploring this whole project?
Well, it's a loaded question, because I'd like about $100 million to drill this out, but I know that's not realistic. Given the way the capital markets are performing right now, we've been very conservative in our raises, and we've been very, I'll say, prescriptive in where we've spent money. And you have to take that clinical approach in this market, because you'll end up getting hammered in it. So, you know, if I was to raise $10 million for a 30,000 meter program, I think that's around the right number. And, you know, that looks to me, that feels about right. We would want to do more than that, because some of these targets are going to say, hey, you know what, look at me, and requires a second or a third drill put onto it. We would love to have that flexibility. And that's just more money and more scope above the $10 million and above a 30 to 35,000 meter program.
Brett, this is more just a general question about the nature of being in a development stage company now, where you're putting out resources, where you're working on economic studies as an advanced explorer. It's not just directed to Gold Shore. It doesn't seem like any gold company or even silver company is getting the value for the ounces in the ground that it used to. I mean, I'm stunned that you have near 6 million ounces of gold here, but it doesn't seem like the marketplace is really waking up to that. What would you say to investors that are seeing this happen kind of across the board in the industry? People putting out growing resources, but the marketplace shrugging that off. Is it something where eventually that will all be factored in as optionality when the gold price goes higher? Or what's your take on it?
Yeah, you know what? We're sitting at around $6 an ounce today. And, you know, we're probably industry leading when we say that it costs us $10 an ounce Canadian to put on 6 million ounces. We raised $60 million. We've spent the majority of it. And we've got 6 million ounces. So the math is quite simple. But that's also our all-in acquisition cost as well. And our industry peers, you know, travel around 20 to 25, maybe even as high as $30 an ounce just for drilling, all-in drilling costs. So we've got quite a competitive advantage. But the market just hasn't seemed to care about anybody or anything because of, and I don't think it's the gold price. The overhang we have right now as an industry is because of the geopolitical status of the world, and combined with that, the macroeconomic current environment and future outlooks. So yes, everyone's saying, you know, maybe the US election will be a bit of a catalyst to change things. Maybe, you know, a Republican presidency will change the trajectory of both interest rates, inflation, and gold price, because the US has $31.5 trillion of debt, and they run a $4 trillion deficit every year. And it's not sustainable. You know, their debt continues to rise enormously every year. Now, the only way out for them is to either slow spending, which they've proven they can't do or won't do, and or print more money. And I tend to lean towards the latter. And that is an environment for gold price to remain strong. And I'm going to say between $1,900 and $2,200. But there are people smarter than me in the economy that say gold is going to go to $25,000 to $3,000 during this period. So a lot of interesting factors here. But I think our market has just risked off because everyone, a lot of investors I've talked to, a lot of people sitting on cash waiting for the ball to drop. They think there's a major correction coming before the U.S. election. And I don't think there's a major correction coming. I think we've already seen a slow major correction over the last 18 months. And I think when we re-rate and when the market wakes up, starts to deploy capital, they're going to say, wow, you know, biotech and healthcare and real estate, I kind of maybe want to get out of those sectors and focus on a sector that is going to go through a bull run during this, you know, macroeconomic time. And that's going to be precious metals. So you're right in saying that there's a lot of people undervalued, but there's a lot of, you know, mining companies that are full value too. Cobalt companies, lithium companies, all full value right now. And we have peers trading at $25, $30 an ounce. We also have peers trading at $110 an ounce. So, you know, I don't know what to make of all of that. Why we haven't, you know, picked up and been the darling in the market yet is still to be determined. But I just think it's the risk off mentality we have before us right now.
So, Brett, one more question then, because this is, yes, a more advanced project. This is a large project at already 6 million ounces. A lot of people would be looking at the company saying, when are you going to bring in a partner? Do you need a partner? Because sometimes that can provide that validation on the underlying asset as well. Any outlook on this? What stage do you think you need to be at to potentially attract a partner?
It's a great question. And I talk about this almost every day, internally and externally. I think under normal market dynamics, bringing in a partner when we have this closer to a bankable state is the right call, and bring somebody in for 19% or 29.9%, bring them up to the threshold over a period of time. And I think that's the smart end move. You still keep market tension on potential exit strategies, i.e. M&A, and a lot of majors partner with other majors, and you do see a lot of joint ventures among them. So bringing somebody in doesn't eliminate that tension as far as share price goes. But I would say, you know, under normal market dynamics, we would be doing that a year and a half or 2 years from now. But I think given the current market dynamics, we have to start thinking about that now. And we have already started thinking about that now. And the difficulty is, you know, getting the attention of bigger players is not that easy. Even though there's a lot of depressed mining companies out there in the junior space with great projects, and I like to think ours as one of those situations, there's still not a lot of interest. Deals are not getting done at the speed at, you know, which we're used to. There are some deals getting done. Typically, the high grade, low risk projects are getting done. Grade can make up for a lot of things. And I would like to think that we're maybe on that list, and maybe we're just not as high as the Great Bears of the world or the Sabinas or the Snowlines of the world. We're not that high up the list, but, you know, we might be one day, and we need to be prepared for that. So I think bringing a partner in sooner than later is probably the right strategy here.
Well, Brett, just as we wrap up, I guess just summarize for investors looking at Gold Shore Resources, maybe revisiting it, maybe looking at it for the first time. How would you distinguish yourself from other development stage companies, other than obviously the 6 million ounces of gold puts you in kind of your own category? There's not a lot of companies that have that. But what other things would you say to investors as far as what makes Gold Shore Resources unique? What's the main catalyst that you want people focused on?
There's a number. And the first thing is, from an investment standpoint, people need to see where we stack up against our peers. And when you do that analysis, you'll say, this might be the best prospect I've seen in this space. I say that, but people need to say that for themselves. So the first thing is, how are we positioned in the market? That's the investment thesis. The second thing is what's going to substantiate and support that is, what about our size and scale and potential? You know, we have 30 high priority targets that could all come into play here from a resource standpoint. We have a tremendously large land package, up to 18,000 hectares. And we could probably drill another 100,000 meters on our site and continue to, you know, bring in new discoveries. So the size and scale and potential is supporting the underlying investment thesis, but it's also the grade. Half of our resource is contained within these high grade shears. And it is, you know, 1.84 grams is pretty significant compared to, you know, peers at 0.6 and 0.7 and 0.8 and 0.9. It's significant. So I think when the market kind of really starts to get liquid again, we're going to see these types of analyses done on various companies. And obviously, we're going to lead the way. And I truly believe we will lead the way, because you're right, there aren't very many 6 million ounce deposits out there that have grade and scale well beyond 6 million ounces. And we actually walked through where we felt that we could probably get to 10 or 15 million ounces just at Moss without any other targets. And that's kind of within a drilling program in the next 4 years. And it goes beyond that. You talk about 8 kilometers of strike where we're currently sitting on 2.5. It is quite something. So there's the investment thesis, and then there's everything that underpins it.
All right, Brett, thank you for this update. We'll post a link to the Gold Shore website where you can read over all the recent news that we discussed. And if you have any follow-up questions for Brett, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Brett, thanks again for this update.
Thanks, Corey.